भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 व्हाट्स टेक्स्ट 53 यता त्रिवर्गम गुरुभिर् आत्मने उपशिक्षितम् नासादु मीने तच्छिक्षाम् द्वन्द्वारामोपवर्णितम् यथा त्रिवर्गम गुरुभिर् आत्मने उपचिक्षितम् न साधु मेने तच्छिक्षम् द्वन्द्वरामो पवर्णितम् माताजी प्लीज Yata, as, Trivargam, the three processes, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Guru B, by the teachers, Atmane, unto himself, Prahlad Maharaj, Upasikshitam, instructed, na, not, sadhu, really good, mene, he considered, tat siksham, the education in that, dvandvarama, by persons taking pleasure in duality, in material enmity and friendship, upavarnitam, which is prescribed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The teachers Sanda and Amarka instructed Prahlad Maharaj in the three kinds of material advancement called religion, economic development and sense gratification. Prahlad, however, being situated above such instructions, did not like them, for such instructions are based on the duality of worldly affairs, which involve one in a materialistic way of life, marked by birth, death, old age and disease. Purport. The entire world is interested in the materialistic way of life. Indeed, practically 99.9% of the people in the three worlds are uninterested in liberation or spiritual education. Only the devotees of the Lord, headed by such great personalities as Prahlad Maharaj and Narada Muni, are interested in the real education of spiritual life. One cannot understand the principles of religion while staying on the material platform. Therefore, one must follow these great personalities. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20, Swayambhu Narada Sambhu Kumaro Kapila Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam. One must follow in the footsteps of such great personalities as Lord Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Kapila, Manu, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bhishma, Janaka, Bali Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. Those interested in spiritual life should follow Prahlad Maharaj in rejecting the education of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One should be interested in spiritual education. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who did not like any of the materialistic education he received from his teachers. Om Agyanathimurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gorvani Pacharne Nirvisesha Shunivadi Pachyatya Destarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the Bhagavatam it says that a fortunate soul is one who comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And the more fortunate is the one who hears from the bona fide spiritual master. And the most fortunate is one who gets opportunity to hear again and again about the topics of Krishna. So Prabhupada has made us most fortunate. And when we study this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, it's amazing to see how there are actually no material impediments to understand Krishna and to spread Krishna consciousness. There are no impediments. Like we can see, starting, you know, from the pastime, how Prahlad's mother, Kayadu, She was actually being kidnapped by the demigods, and Narada Muni intervened and said, you know, she's carrying an exalted soul in her womb, so you have to be careful. So Narada Muni took Kayadu with him, and Narada Muni was preaching to him. And Prahlad heard the teachings from the womb of his mother. I mean, try telling our scientist this, you know. This is very amazing. And we can see here how, you know, he has such an opposition from his teachers and friends and father to practice Krishna consciousness, but no problem. When we, you know, try to encourage people, newcomers, when they come along, when we encourage them to chant Hare Krishna, they say they can't, like Prabhupada said, you know, chant, 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 but people say can't, can't, can't. So everybody has some excuse, whether I'm too young to chant, or I'm too old to chant, or I have no job, I'm stressed out, therefore I cannot chant, or I have a job, you know, I'm too busy, I'm sick, or I'm too healthy and I'm too much in Maya. So everybody's got some excuses why we cannot chant Hare Krishna, especially when we encourage newcomers to chant 16 rounds. They feel like, you know, we are asking them to do something impossible. But it's just our minds. Like Prabhupada gives the example, like an elephant. It's such a huge animal, so powerful. But it's just like tied to the ground with a little rope, little chain in its leg, and then it's plugged with a little wood or something metal in the ground. He can easily pull it, just like moving his leg, you know. The chain will come off. But he's considering, oh my God, you know, I'm finished. I just can't do it. You know, I'm bound. In the same way, like, we are fearful of chanting Hare Krishna. But it's actually the most pleasurable thing. We are all looking for happiness. And the real happiness is connecting the soul with Krishna. So when we are asking people to chant Hare Krishna, means it's like party, you know, it's like fun. But it takes some purification to realize that. So Krishna is staging these extreme examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam to blow our minds. So we have no excuses left why I cannot chant Hare Krishna. If Arjuna can chant Hare Krishna in the middle of Kurukshetra war, then why we cannot chant? If Prahlad can chant, facing all these obstacles, why we cannot chant? So this is the purpose of reading Bhagavatam. We see how, you know, devotees went through severe tests and still, you know, they showed their devotion. So we feel inspired. One new devotee was asking, how is this that, you know, a demon is preaching Sanatan Dharma, like referring to Prahlad Maharaj. But, you know, there are so many examples in the Bhagavatam that the devotees are appearing, taking birth or appearing in a demoniac background. So many examples, Prahlad Maharaj, Vritrasura, Bali Maharaj. It's like a sandalwood tree appearing in a forest of thorns. But that does not mean they are demons just because they took birth in a family of demons. The body is not what we are. It's the qualities and it's the soul. Like Prabhupada gave a brilliant example. People think, oh, you're born in a Brahmin family, therefore you're a Brahmana. So people think the body is a Brahmana. And if a Brahmana dies and you set him on fire, that means, according to you, that means you're committing Brahmahatya, which means you're killing a Brahmana. But no, the soul, the qualities is the real Brahmana. The soul, the qualities And the devotion is the real Vaishnava, not like where we are born or, you know, what country or what color or what financial status. It's like Ramanujacharya, for example, he performed this final rites, Shraddha ceremony, for this Vaishnava who happened to be born in a Sudra family. So the whole village was condemning him. How could you do that? You know, how can you do that? You're a sannyasi and you're touching a body of a Sudra. And Ramanujacharya gave the example of Lord Ramchandra. He said Ramchandra, he actually performed the final rites for this bird, Jatayu. Was Jatayu a vulture? Eagle. An eagle, according to even among the birds, you know. Nobody likes to be called as an eagle, you know. You want to be like called as a like sweet, like a parrot or a lovebird or a pigeon or something like that. There's poems they write about personalities like this. It's the bird of America. Just see. Okay. So Ram performed funeral rites for Jatayu. Maybe they got it from the Ramayana. The last rites, and you know, Ramanujacharya was giving this as an example. You know, that the body is not so important, is the qualities and the qualification. That's what is the most important thing. It is true that generally the samskaras really makes who we are. The impressions, you know, we get whatever we learn while we're growing up, whatever we learn from our parents or friends or society when we are kids, whatever habits we learn, it actually stays with us. Like the example is given, just like a, you know, camphor. Even if the camphor, if you keep it in a container, even after the camphor is empty, when you open it, such a strong smell is there. Similarly, if you know, our qualities are there, whatever we have learned from childhood. But Krishna says that we can actually overcome, we can transcend all these qualities. Sagunan samati te etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, Krishna says. And he also says that mam evaye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. By surrendering unto Krishna, we can actually go beyond all these samskaras and conditionings. Therefore, it's very important actually to train children when they're young. Like one of my god brothers, he had a child recently, and he asked for my guru's blessings to give a name and give some advice how to raise the child. And my Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, he advised him saying, introduce and expose your child to Krishna consciousness as much as possible before he or she turns 13 years old. Give him as much as possible Krishna consciousness. Once they become 13 years old, then, you know, things change, you know, they hit puberty and come under the influence of hormones and the, you know, demoniac society we're living in. So it's very, very important that we exposed to Krishna consciousness as a childhood. Otherwise, our conditioning becomes very strong. Very strong. Sometimes we see for ourselves, if our sadhana, if our devotional practice is not strong, it looks like, you know, we are doing really good. We are really good devotees when everything is going fine, you know, everything is smooth. But when the test comes, when we are asked to do something for Krishna that we don't like, immediately our nature comes out. Our real nature comes out. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the, like this jackal. The jackal was wandering in the backyard of somebody and fell into a paint and it turned into a blue color, you know. And all the animals in the forest, they were thinking, my God, you know, you're so special, you must be from the heavens. Who are you, you know, give us some wisdom like this. They were thinking this jackal to be something extraordinary. But when it rained, the color got washed off and everybody can see, you know, this real identity. Similarly, sometimes, you know, we can hide behind so many things, but Krishna will test us, and, you know, and unless we are genuine, unless we are here for Krishna's pleasure, we will fail. So, we are fortunate that we have all these books Srila Prabhupada has given us, all his teachings, all his lectures, and all his association of his disciples and devotees. We can actually transcend all these obstacles. Prabhupada's books are so potent, they have the power. The problem is, we don't take our time to read them. That's when the fall down begins. It's like one devotee, he came in front of Prabhupada and he was crying. I asked him, wow, what's happening? You have such devotion for Prabhupada. He said, it's obvious, Prabhupada is so powerful, he's changed the lives of so many millions of people. And I'm just praying that he will change the heart of my children also. He was such an intelligent man, and I know I learned a lot. I was like, wow, this is such, you know, this is so true. And Prabhupada did so many miracles of changing us, like Jagais and Madais, into whoever we are now. And these miracles are so amazing, if we read Prabhupada Lilamrita, that people in the future generation, they will actually have a hard time believing, like, how Prabhupada could establish all these things within few years' time in such an old age. People will have a hard time believing it. We believe it because we're meeting disciples of Prabhupada who experience this, so it's easy for us. But 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now, people will be amazed, blown away by, you know, what Prabhupada has done. Already, even when he was alive, they called him God because, you know, pretty amazing what Prabhupada has done. So Prabhupada is writing in the purport that the entire world is interested in the materialistic way of life. Indeed, practically 99% of the people in three worlds, Prabhupada is saying, are uninterested in liberation. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were in the same situation like what Prabhupada is saying. Therefore, now that we have received the mercy, it's our duty to help people to make internal change. People have some idea. Everybody talks about inner happiness and peace and contentment and self-realization. But they don't know the art. It's just like a joke. There's actually a joke. One monk, he went to a pizza place in New York and he asked, how much is a slice of pizza? The guy said $10, so the monk gave him $20 and ate a slice of pizza. Hopefully it's vegan pizza. And the monk asked for change, and the shopkeeper said, why are you asking me change for? The change must come from within. So people have some understanding that self-realization means the change comes from within, but they don't have the art. They don't know the art and the science how to accomplish that change. Otherwise, like Prabhupada is saying, I was listening in one morning lecture, people are building these skyscrapers. And what are they doing? They're going all the way to the 100th floor and jumping from the top floor and committing suicide. So you have to come to that conclusion if you're not spiritual, because there is nothing going. Bhagavatam says only a devotee is peaceful. Only a devotee can actually be happy. Otherwise, material existence is very, very troublesome. It's very hot. Maya slowly turns on the flame. It's like the frog, you know. A frog was put in a pot, and the flame was turned like, you know, really slow, and he was feeling nice and comfortable, and then the flame was increased one point and then another point, and this is boiled to death, you know. Similarly, we don't feel the whole thing of material existence because we are being in little bit at a time. But it's very scary actually. It's like wringing a dry towel for happiness. It's very, very boring and painful existence. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Muktanam api siddhanam vasudeva parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kotishu apu mahamune. Sudurlabha, Bhagavatam uses this word. Sudurlabha means exceptionally rare. Devotees are the rarest. And they are the happiest. And this is the, this is what Prahlad Maharaj is showing. Regardless of the external situations, he was completely happy and peaceful. And in the purport and in the translation, Prabhupada is saying, how following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we don't want anything to do with this materialistic education. Dharma, artha, kama, economic development, sense gratification. What's the other one? No, he was not talking about moksha here. Religiosity. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. But in a proper context, all these things are nice provided they're related to Krishna. Like Prabhupada himself, he said to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, I can give you the whole of Juhu temple if you want it for the Bhakti Vedanta Institute for propagating science. But what kind of science is that? The real scientist is one who gives credit to Krishna. Like the original founders of the science, they were all God-conscious people. So anything in relation with Krishna is wonderful. Like for example, Prahlad Maharaj is condemning religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. And we saw how he speaks very, very heavily about like married life and like this material existence. But Prahlad Maharaj was a married man. Out of the 12 Mahajans, 6 of them were married. 6 of them were brahmacharis. So Prahlad Maharaj was a married man and he was a king for thousands of years. And how could you be a king without economic development and sense gratification and religiosity? But everything was connected to Krishna. No question of trying to enjoy and control and claim proprietorship separate from Krishna. That's the art we have to learn. Just like a branch, if it's disconnected from a tree, it has no value, it just dries up. Similarly, as soon as we're disconnected from Krishna, everything is like a decoration for a dead body. But as soon as we connect everything to Krishna, immediately it becomes valuable. Like the example of King Kulashekar. Prabhupada very fondly would sing the prayers of Kulashekar, Krishna Tvadiya. Pada pankaja pancharantam advaita vishitu manasa raja hamsa prana prayana samaye kafavata pitto kantava rodanu virav vidav smaranam kutaste. King Kulashekar, he was a king, but he was so Krishna conscious. He was saying at the time of death, all my bodily, constitution will be disturbed. So now I'm able to breathe. Now I'm able to remember you, Krishna. Now I'm such health. Let me die right now remembering you. And we can see in this pastime of Kulashekar how he was so devoted, so Krishna conscious. Everything in his court, there was daily reading of Ramayana. Everybody's so excited, Obama won. Facebook is like flooded with these things. What's the big deal, whoever won, are they going to discuss Ramayana every day in the White House or what? But, Kulashekar was discussing every day Ramayana and he would be so absorbed in the katha that he would take completely in the mood of whatever they discussed that day. For example, if they're discussing how Sita has been abducted by Ravana and Ram is going for war, King Kulashekar would get so involved in these pastimes, he would take all of his army and march towards Rameshwaram with his sword. And the ministers were thinking, you know, we can't afford to do things like this, you know. This is not a good management. This is not good, you know, practically. So they warned the guy, the Bhagavatam reader, the Ramayana reader, only discuss sweet pastimes, happy endings, none of these war pastimes. So he was so absorbed. And the ministers, they were getting actually tired, you know. What's this? He's so absorbed, he's not focusing on his service. And only because he's so attached to his devotees, devotee friends, he's doing like this. So if we break his faith in the devotees, then, you know, he will lose his Krishna consciousness. Even his ministers knew the essence of, the secret of Krishna consciousness. So they invited some special devotees to come to the kingdom, and they stole the deity jewelries. The ministers stole them and hid it in the bags of the devotee guests. And they complained to Kulashekar, you know, our deity jewelries are missing. So Kulashekar said, close the whole kingdom and search. And when they searched, sure enough, they found the jewelry in the bag of the devotees. And they said to Kulashekar, see, you're so into your friends and you glorify them like anything, but they're just like everybody else, you know. They just stole some cheap things, material things. And especially that belong to the deities. So Kulashekar said, impossible. This is, I don't believe this. So just to prove his faith in his devotees, he asked for the most poisonous, venomous cobra to be brought to the court, and he called all the citizens, and this cobra was kept in a glass jar, and he said, I'm going to put my hand in the jar, and if it bites me, then sure, the devotees are thieves. If not, then that's the proof. The devotees are spotless, they're pure. So he put his hand in the jar and the cobra actually backed off 3 times and gave like obeisances. So everybody was amazed, and you know, Kulashekar had so much faith. And he said, Kulashekar was actually even more enthusiastic to renounce this time. He said, you know what? What am I doing, you know, dealing with this kind of ministers who are trying to discourage me and like this, finish, I'm going. So he quit everything, he renounced everything and went to the temple, Tirupati temple of Balaji. And he was completely dedicating his life, writing prayers and preaching Krishna consciousness. And just like Uddhava, he thought he's very dear friend of Krishna, and he looks like Krishna, and he knows a lot about Krishna. But then when he went to Vrindavan, he saw that, you know, when he saw the affection and the love of gopis for Krishna, it felt so insignificant. And he felt like, you know, worshipping the gopis and falling at their feet. But he knows the gopis, they won't allow the, you know, Uddhava to fall at his at their feet. So Uddhava said, you know, let me become a blade of grass or something like that in the outskirts of Vrindavan, where, you know, they walk accidentally, they may step on me, and this way I'll get blessings. The same way Kulashekar was praying that, you know, I want to become the steps near the entrance of the Balaji temple altar. So that way he was saying that when the devotees come to pray, they will stand on me, stand on my head and worship Balaji. And there's actually a step called Kulashekar Padi, Kulashekar steps. We're not allowed to stand there, but you know, that was his desire. So we have such great wealth. It's like, you know, we don't have to, you know, just like a wealthy person's child. You know, he doesn't have to work hard to become, you know, millionaire himself. His father is a millionaire, and naturally if he just behaves nicely, all the inheritance goes to the child. Similarly, we have such wealthy predecessors, acharyas, and we just have to glorify them and serve them, and you know, we can also share the wealth. Otherwise, if we don't practice Krishna consciousness and we don't share with people, nothing else is going on in Kali Yuga. Nothing is going for people in Kali Yuga. Like we see in the news, day by day, everywhere in the world, in China, in Brazil, in India, in America, you know, there's so much crime, there's so much killing, there is so much danger. There was this in the news, it was saying how there was a guy, he tried to fly for the first time. And he asked his wife to video this, his taking off and landing. And as he was landing, a car didn't stop, the stop sign, it came and then he landed on the car. Luckily nobody died, but he quit his job right away. And he's saying, you know what, I realized that it's so dangerous. I don't want to take such a dangerous job. And I realized what's important. I have a little child and family. I want to spend time with them. I don't want to take risk. But danger is at every step, whether you're flying or you're driving, you know. It's the same thing. Everybody is suffering, but they come up with so many crazy solutions, which doesn't mean anything. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, the problems, the solutions to the material problem, material solutions to the material problems cause more problems than the original problem. We tax our head, our brain, you know, how to solve problems. It's like this joke, you know, in Saudi Arabia. If you drink, you get like, you know, beaten with sticks. So three of these guys, they were caught drinking, one from India, one from Bangladesh, and one from Afghanistan, Pakistan. And they were going to beat them. So the first guy, they asked, anything, because it's very severe, this beating. So they asked this guy, you want anything before you beat? You have any wish? He said, yeah, I want to actually put some, you know, cushion in my back before you beat. So they put the cushion and they were beating him. Still, the beating was so hard, the cushion tore off. And the guy from Bangladesh, when they were about to beat him, he said, I want extra cushion, 10 times more than you gave to this guy from, you know, Pakistan. They gave him. Still, the beating was so hard that he tore off all the cushion and it was so painful. And the last was the Indian. And they asked him, like, you have any wish? He said, yes, please tie both this Pakistani and the Bangladeshi in my back before you beat me, you know. So we always have some kind of intelligence how to escape. But these things are like temporary solutions. Real thing is what Prahlad Maharaj is giving us, what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. And the marathon is coming, just a couple of weeks away. It's a very precious opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. Like in Krishna consciousness, we're all into so many things. You know, fasting and, you know, prasadam distribution, lighting lamps. Great, wonderful. But the most importantly, what Prabhupada stressed was his book distribution. So we shouldn't get carried away too much and lose focus on the importance of outreach work. So our goal this year, our temple president wanted 20,000 Bhagavad Gitas to be distributed. So everybody please, on World Enlightenment Day, at least do like 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Or come forward and give donations so we can distribute on your behalf. Today is Veerabhadra's appearance. I don't know much about him. Any of the senior devotees want to say something? It is mentioned that he's one of the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree after Nityananda Prabhu is the Veerabhadra and his incarnation of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And he performed unlimited pastimes and he accepted his stepmother, Janava Devi. Vasudha was Nityananda Prabhu's other wife and Veerabhadra was the son of Vasudha, but he took initiation from his stepmother, Janava Mata. Very glorious. Any questions or comments? Acharya Narottam Prabhu. Yeah, Is the microphone coming? Oh, yeah. Okay. You go ahead.
Thank you, Prabhu Sastrakrit, for such a wonderful class. You were mentioned that the founders of science, they were Krishna conscious. So are you talking about the Western scientists or the sages or
originally? Yeah, Western scientists also.
Can you elaborate more about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, like Einstein and, you know, YouTube and websites are full of these quotes from this Western scientist. How they expressed, you know, that, like for example, this person who discovered this atomic bomb, and when he saw the first explosion, he was actually quoting Bhagavad Gita. He was remembering Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita how, you know, time I am, the destroyer of everything. He's a Krishna conscious person. There's so many, the names are not coming now, but so many Western scientists, the founders, they were all so God conscious. And they gave so much credit to Krishna. Namala Bhakta Prabhu, can you give?
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu, as usual. I just wanted to make a very brief comment. When you had started your talk and you had expressed some doubt that scientists would believe that a fetus in the womb of its mother could hear the instructions of someone outside the womb. So there have been actually Western scientists who have done experiments in this particular area, and they have, if you want, I can give you details, but suffice it to say that they have confirmed that this is true between the 7th and 9th month, that an actual fetus can remember everything that it hears outside, especially those things which its mother is speaking of. For example, one particular scientist, he used hypnosis, and he hypnotized a young man, maybe in his 20s or 30s, and he asked him to, could he remember anything that he had heard while he was in the womb? And he remembered a conversation that had taken place at a carnival. And he remembered the exact words, because he had been, he was now in a state of what they call regression. He had been regressed back to that time when that conversation was taking place. His mother was talking to a sister, and he was simply listening. So what happened is that the scientist then requested to speak with the mother, and he asked her whether she had ever spoken these particular words about that particular subject matter while her son was in the womb. And she was aghast that he could even know that conversation had gone on. And she said, yes, I did have such a conversation. So this scientist did not do this just with one person. He had many, actually, persons. So it is a confirmed statement that between the 7th and 9th month that the fetus can actually understand. Normally before that time, it's usually in a state of unconsciousness. But it then comes to awakening, and that state, which is also referred to in the Bhagavatam, when the fetus begins to pray, oh Lord, please, don't let me forget you. We know all of that. So I just wanted to just make mention of this fact that many devotees may not know this, but it is an interesting and fascinating fact. If anyone wants to know what the book is, I can get that information, because I had done some research on that several years ago.
Jai, thank you for the nice exam. Panabhata Prabhu.
This is a quick question. I'm wondering, is there any information given as to how long Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother?
How long he was in the womb?
Yeah.
No, not...
Certainly that must defy the...
Sorry, Prabhu?
I'm saying certainly that must defy the, you know, understanding of scientists. Because, I mean, I understand he was in the womb for a long period of time. We know Shukadeva Goswami was had stayed in the womb for, what, 16 years or something.
Yeah, that's
true. How is that possible?
Yeah, that's a good point. Did you get that, Amala Bhakta Babu? Did you hear that? That's a good point. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's a good point. That scientists may agree that, you know, child can hear and remember things from the womb, but they may not agree that, you know, a child can stay in the womb for such a long time. Anthony, last one.
You said that the scientist that created the atomic bomb was God conscious. I was just wondering why a God conscious person would make such a destructive thing.
Yeah, there's different levels of God consciousness. Unless you're like fully purified and fully, you know, Krishna conscious, we have the tendency to, you know, cheat and make mistakes and like this. We are an illusion. So he was God conscious, but not to the level that we are discussing here. But at least it's something that, you know, he remembered Krishna. Amala Bhakta Prabhu has his...
In regard to Banabhata's question, it would have to have been a very long time, because when Queen Kayadu was captured by Indra, at that time Hiranyakashipu was performing these austerities of standing on his toes with his arms raised and looking up to the sky, and that had taken place for a very long period of time. So one may question that how would Prahlad Maharaj remain in the womb for such a long time. My understanding is that this